Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Boyle, and this week on the show, we are chatting about busting the biggest nutrition myths. Now, before we dive into this week's episode, if you've been enjoying the podcast but haven't yet hit the subscribe button, if you could do that now, it would mean the world to the podcast, as this helps to tell everybody else that this is a great podcast to listen to and helps us secure bigger, better and more amazing guests. Okay, so chatting about busting the biggest nutrition myths. So this week I wanted to focus on five of the biggest nutrition myths, and many of these I think you'll be familiar with. Sometimes it's hard to know what is a myth and what is real. So today I wanted to, you know, dive into some of these myths, look at the science and the data that we have, and hopefully bust some of them. So the first one that we often hear is that carbs make you gain weight. So carbs referring to carbohydrates. So these are one of our macronutrients. So many people that I work with when they come in to do a nutrition consult are very afraid of carbohydrates, especially women. Now, carbohydrates can be found in many different foods. So we've got our complex carbs that are our rice, our pasta, our grains, our legumes, you know, nuts and seeds. All these foods contain carbohydrates. And then we have our simple carbs. So our simple sugars like glucose and fructose that are mainly found, they can be found in fruits and vegetables, but also in our processed foods. That's where they're found in their higher amounts. So things like lollies and cakes and cookies and ice cream and these sweet style foods. Now, many of these carbohydrate foods, these complex carbs, contain fiber. And fiber is really important as it's fantastic and necessary for our gut microbiome. It helps us stay regular going to the toilet, you know, helps us go to, you know, poop daily. We know that that's a really healthy sign of a healthy bowel, but it also helps us feel fuller for longer. So if we can eat high fiber foods, and many of these complex carbs contain higher levels of fiber, then it's actually going to help us stay fuller for longer. So we're not as hungry and potentially not reaching for the simple carbs like these sugars and processed foods like cakes and biscuits and cookies to get that sugar hit. So when it comes to healthy dietary patterns, we want to include a mix of high fiber carbohydrates along with protein and healthy fats like avocado oil and avocados, avocado oil, olive oil, you know, like the Mediterranean diet. So if you're not familiar with the Mediterranean diet, they focus on eating, you know, our complex carbs in the forms of legumes, nuts and seeds and ancient grains. Then we have our fats as our avocados, extra virgin olive oil, olives, you know, fatty fish, so omega-3s, and then our protein sources are lean meat and then shellfish and fish and eggs occasionally. So getting that nice well-rounded approach of getting a balance of complex carbs, fats and proteins is what's really going to contribute to giving us a healthy diet. And the Mediterranean diet has been associated with a reduced risk of diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and a number of cancers. So lots of research has been done into the Mediterranean diet, and it is often the one that is generally, you know, if we're talking about healthy diets, many dietitians and nutritionists will often refer to it. So when it comes to carbohydrates and carbohydrate intake, we just want to make sure that we're steering clear of those simple carbs and processed foods like white bread, sweetened drinks. So think of soft drinks, you know, foods that have really high sugar contents and poor nutritional quality, in the sense that they're not giving you a lot of vitamins, nutrients, antioxidants, you know, protein, you know, they're not giving you those nutrients you really need to thrive. And there are a lot of those types of foods out there, we've just mentioned many of them, that are more like our treat foods, you know, the foods that we're putting in sort of 10% of the time, but not really forming our diet off it. You know, for our day-to-day regular habitual eating patterns, we want to try to stick to that healthy side, more like that Mediterranean diet, which focuses on those whole foods. Now, in saying all that, we do need to really have good intake of carbs, because glucose is our brain's preferred fuel source. So we really need to be including it in the diet. So overall, we want to be trying to get that glucose from those complex carbs, from quinoa, you know, legumes, beans, you know, whether or not you like black beans, kidney beans, cannellini beans, you know, whatever type. So adding these types of complex carbs in so that we can really fuel our brain, fuel our body. So we know that if we're going to do any type of high intensity workout, say we're going to go for a run or a cycle, our first source of fuel is going to be glucose taken from those muscles. So glucose is essential, but we really need to have it in combination with those other macronutrients. So where possible, avoid those sugary foods and drinks and focus on those complex carbs. And if you do that, then it's not going to be the carbohydrates that make you gain weight, because those complex carbohydrates are generally going to be higher in fiber, great for your gut health, keep you regular, keep you fuller for longer, and really provide you with vitamins and minerals that you need for your body. So I hope that sort of busted that sort of first myth. You know, carbs can make you gain weight if you're sticking to those simple sugars, you know, and eating more of those sugary foods. But if you're focusing on those complex carbs, then they can really be a, you know, fundamental healthy part of your regular food intake. Now, the next myth I wanted to chat about was you have to be skinny to be healthy. This is another myth that is out there, and it's portrayed, you know, in the media. You know, we see all these actors, actresses, singers, anybody in the media, you know, generally we see them. They look quite glamorous. They may be thin and lean. You know, they've got makeup, hair done, nails done, great outfits. And so we think that in order to look healthy and have this appearance, that we need to be thin. And that's not always the case. So our weight is not only influenced by our diet, but also our genetics, our ethnicity, our bone and muscle mass, and our hormones, and potentially the type of medications that we may be taking also. So there are a lot of factors that go into our weight. And although obesity is linked to higher risks of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, heart attack, and cancer, you don't necessarily need to be skinny to be healthy. You can, you know, maintain a healthy weight range without needing to be skinny. So what do we want to focus on then? Well, as we were saying before, when we're talking about the carbohydrates, we really want to focus on having a nutritious whole foods diet. So going back to having those fruits and veggies, you know, great protein sources, good fats, all of those things together in our diet can really help us maintain a healthy weight range. On top of that, we want to move our body, and we also want to be maintaining our strength and mobility. So that may mean lifting weights, okay, or doing body weight exercises like Pilates, so that we can really build and maintain our muscle mass and, you know, bone mass at the same time. So we can see many people that look really fit, that look muscly, but you wouldn't necessarily say they look skinny, okay? They are still very, very healthy because they will have higher levels of bone mass and muscle mass, which is more protective against falls, okay, and especially as we age, as we lose that muscle mass. And, you know, really focusing on building that strength is so important. On top of all that, we also want to focus on getting good sleep and managing our stress. So in the same way that just because you're skinny doesn't mean that you're healthy, You may be skinny, but you don't exercise, you don't eat well, you may have high levels of stress that may be contributing to you losing weight. So more that the stress and the not sleeping and the high cortisol levels may be, you know, contributing you to maintaining that lower muscle mass, but you still be at a higher risk of cardiovascular disease and cancer and lifestyle diseases if you're not getting great sleep, you've got high levels of stress, and you're eating a poor diet. So you may not be eating a lot if you're under stress and that's why you're thin, but it doesn't equate to being healthy. So I think, you know, always, you know, think about how to be healthy rather than how to be skinny. And that's what we want to be teaching our kids, you know, and the next generation coming through. We want to make sure that, you know, we can move, we can bend, we can touch our toes, we can twist without hurting our back. So that mobility and strength component is so much more important functionally for our everyday lives and our overall mental health and well-being than just how skinny that we may look in the mirror. So you can still be thin and still be at an increased risk of lifestyle diseases if you're thin because you're not maintaining healthy habits. So always go back to those healthy habits first, you know, and if you are having, you know, some issues with your weight, look at those healthy habits. Is your sleep off? Do you have high levels of stress? You know, are you reaching, you know, for those sugary snacks more often than those, you know, complex, dense, nutrient-dense foods because you're stressed or because you're tired or, you know, there's any number of factors? So, you know, again, being skinny doesn't mean that you're healthy. And so if we can just have more of that focus on maintaining a healthy weight range for our body, you know, our ethnicity, our genetics, rather than how thin we are, then we're definitely going to be way better off for our mental and our physical health. Okay, moving on. Number three myth I wanted to talk about is high fat foods are bad for you. So again, I've had conversations with girlfriends where we've been sitting around the table and they're like, oh, yep, that's just too high in fat. I can't eat that. So in the 90s and the 2000s, there was a really big move to go for low fat and nobody really cared about sugar. So people used to be really scared of fat. They would often say, if you eat fat, you'll get fat. And I remember in that time, I was scared of fat at that same sort of time. I would eliminate it from my diet. I would choose foods that said that they, you know, had low fat on them. I remember a particular ice cream that I would get that was, you know, always advertising that had, you know, low fat and, you know, thinking that that was better. Hence though, once doing all my nutritional studies and as more research has come out, we know that low fat foods are not necessarily good for us because they're usually higher sugar content to make up for the lack of flavor and texture and mouthfeel when you take fat away. So companies are very clever, and when they reduce fat, you'll usually get a product that doesn't taste very good. So they'll replace it with sugar so that we then get that taste and flavor back. So fat can be very, very healthy, and we need fat for a healthy body. Now, a very simplistic approach is that, you know, there are some really healthy fats that are heart protective. So these are known as monounsaturated fats. And our brain is also mostly made up of fat. So about 60% of our brain is made up of fat, even though the preferred source of fuel for our brain is glucose. So not to mix those two up. We need fat for energy and to support our cellular function. We also need fat to help absorb certain nutrients. So our fat-soluble nutrients, A, D, E, and K, also, as well as certain hormones, we need fat to help absorb these nutrients that we're eating and to help produce certain hormones. So fat is fundamental to a healthy body. But focusing on, you know, our monounsaturated and heart healthy fats and steering clear of trans fats and processed foods that are high in seed oils that have, you know, had to go through lots of, you know, they may have additives and chemicals and preservatives and all these things added to them in the process. So these types of fats, the trans fats and the seed oils, can be very inflammatory to the body. So they can cause inflammation and an increased rate of aging due to the oxidized nature of the fat. So where we can steer clear of those foods, we're going to. And as you guys know, I'm a big advocate for, if you're not sure, turn over the back of the packet, you know, have a look. Does it say it's got trans fats in it? Many countries have banned trans fats. Some countries like Australia, you can have a very small amount if it's produced when certain fats are mixed. So you may find in certain products, it has 0.1 or 0.2 grams of trans fats. So we just want to eliminate them where we can, okay? And the same with seed oils. If you look on the back of the packet and it says it has canola oil or sunflower oil or corn, you know that this is probably, it's not a good source of fat. Let's put it back and let's see if we can find an alternative where possible. So like all macronutrients, we want to have a really good balance of protein, fat, and carbohydrates in our diet. Including higher fat foods in our diet can definitely be part of a healthy diet. So we know foods like, as I mentioned before, avocados, flax seeds, chia seeds. So nuts and seeds tend to be higher in these monounsaturated fats, which are healthy fats. Extra virgin olive oil. You might use walnut oil, flaxseed oil. You know, so cooking with these and eating these types of foods rather than the trans fats and the, you know, seed oils are definitely a better option. And, you know, having them in moderation like everything else. Some people do better off having a higher fat diet with lower carbs and, you know, good sources of protein. Other people may do better off having some more complex carbs and good sources of protein and slightly lower levels of fats. But we're all very different. We all have different individual systems, and it's really working out what works for you. So recently, you know, doing the ketogenic diet has come up, and some people that works brilliantly for, and other people it's just too much. You know, especially for women, you know, if you're doing a ketogenic diet, you may find that you get results, you know, very quickly for the first couple of weeks, but trying to sustain that ketogenic diet and have such low levels of carbs can be harder for women because we need just a little bit more carbs for our hormones, you know, especially if you're menstruating at certain times of the month, you know, progesterone really likes to have some carbohydrates to help, you know, the formation and use of progesterone. So, you know, being conscious of your cycle, being conscious of, you know, what your body tends to thrive on are all things to keep in mind. But just realizing that high fat foods aren't bad for you. It just depends on the type of fat. And again, like everything, moderation is key. Hi, everyone. I'm interrupting this podcast to let you know that I have a brand new daily Pilates workout that you can download for free and work out with me. Now, this daily Pilates workout is just 15 minutes. It's going to help you build strength and mobility. It's going to help energize you, leave you feeling really good. And the best bit, it's only going to take 15 minutes. So to grab your free workout, head on over to the podcast show notes and click the Daily Pilates workout link. I can't wait to see you on your mat. Okay, moving on to our fourth myth, and that is that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And I'm sure many of you heard this from your parents, you know, in the morning, especially if you weren't someone that was super interested in eating breakfast, you know, that breakfast is the most important meal of the day and you have to eat breakfast, you know. And there's also that saying that you should be eating breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince or princess or queen and then princess, and dinner like a pauper. So having your biggest meal at the start of the day, medium meal at lunch, and the smallest meal at dinner. And again, studies back this up that if you are looking to lose weight, that this is a great way to eat, but it doesn't work for everyone. So with this myth, you know, breakfast is exactly how it sounds. Breakfast means breaking the fast, break fast. So ideally, when we want to go to, you know, sleep at night, if we want to get a great night's sleep, we want to be having our last meal of the day about 2 to 3 hours before we go to bed. And then breakfast will be the first meal the following day when we break that fast. Now, some people do really well having breakfast in the morning. Say you get up at 6, having breakfast at like 7 a.m., you know, they're breaking that fast. Their body prefers that, you know, they feel really good. Other people that may be looking at, you know, intermittent fasting, they may stretch that fast out and not have that first meal of the day till midday. So does that make it lunch, or do we still call that breakfast because we're breaking the fast? Technically, I would look at it and say that's still breakfast because we're breaking the fast. Doesn't matter what you eat at this first meal, in the sense that you may eat more breakfast-style foods, which can be very different across all cultures. Whatever that first meal is, though, again, we want to make sure that it's got a good mix of protein, good fats, and complex carbs. So that is more the key. It doesn't really matter so much at what time you're having that meal, but more that that is a balanced meal. So generally, when it comes to our meals, no one meal is more important than the other. Breakfast isn't more important than lunch, and lunch isn't more important than dinner, and vice versa. But again, it's working out what your body prefers. Studies do show, however, that people who consume breakfast tend to eat healthier throughout the day and stay more consistent with their eating habits. So if we are eating breakfast first thing in the morning and we're eating a healthy breakfast, let's say we're having, you know, a chia pudding with some, you know, Greek yogurt, some nuts and seeds and some berries, studies show that if you start the day with a healthy breakfast, you're more inclined to eat healthier meals for the rest of the day. So if you are trying to, you know, maintain a healthy weight or lose weight or just live a healthy lifestyle, then this can be, you know, a great way to go, breaking your fast in the morning with a good balance of protein, fats, and carbs. Now, you know, some of the reasons for this is when we are having that mix of complex carbs, good fats, and protein, then we're going to get a good dose of fiber, which means that's going to keep us fuller for longer and stop us from reaching for those sugary snacks because it's going to help stabilize our blood sugar levels. So we know that if we have a, you know, couple of lollies first thing in the morning to break your fast, your blood sugar levels are going to go shooting up. And this could be, you know, lollies, it could be a donut, it could be a croissant, anything that's got, you know, a higher sugar content that's going to really push our, you know, a glass of orange juice even, push our blood sugar levels up, and then it's going to come crashing down because we don't have the protein, the good fats, and the fiber to help stop that crash coming. So when that happens, it tends to send our blood sugar levels on a bit of a roller coaster. We tend to get more cravings, our energy goes up and down, our moods go up and down, we get more irritable, you may become hangry, okay, as some people say. So having that, you know, balanced breakfast meal can really help to stop all of those things from occurring and sort of keep you on the right track. So overall, the timing of when you have breakfast can be very individual, but the type of breakfast that you eat, making sure, again, as we said before, that it's got a good mix of protein, complex carbs, and fats may be the more important point to focus on. The other thing to think about too is some people, like kids in particular, do better when they have breakfast in the morning, okay? And also people that suffer from autoimmune conditions, or again, depending on the point of your cycle, it can actually help us to have more energy throughout the day. So, you know, very individual, but breakfast isn't more important than any other meal. And that's kind of the main takeaway from this. Focus more on the types of food that you're eating from breakfast and have it at a time that really suits you. And finally, our fifth myth is supplements are a waste of money. So this is something, again, I hear a lot of, especially from people that don't take any supplements, and they say, oh, why, you know, you just don't need to take any supplements. They're a complete waste of money. Now, you guys know that when it comes to supplements, I really believe they need to be individualized. So just like everything else in your health, you know, your diet, your exercise, your sleep, we really need to work out what's right for you. So many people are often deficient in certain vitamins or minerals. You can get this, you know, checked out via a blood test, or maybe you do, you know, a hair mineral test, or, you know, whatever it may be. But just for some sort of common groups, we often see that people that have a vegan diet may have deficiencies in B12 because they don't get their B12. B12 is found in mainly animal foods, and if you're eliminating that food group from your diet, it's very hard to get a high enough intake. People may also be low in iron, and they may suffer from iron deficiency anemia. And this can be, again, a number of reasons. Maybe they're vegan or vegetarian. Maybe they have issues with their menstrual cycle. They may have a blood disorder. Lots of different things. We also know that people may be low in vitamin D. So if you're not getting enough sunlight, if you live in a climate where it's cold for a lot of the year, or you have a job where you're indoors for the majority of the day, you may be low in vitamin D. Vitamin D is crucial for our bone health, for preventing, respiratory illnesses. So vitamin D is crucial. You may be lacking magnesium. If you suffer from cramping, if you are an athlete, even if you're just a weekend warrior that likes to run or cycle or whatever, taking magnesium can help with muscle cramping, reduce the muscle cramping, as well as sleep and heart health and so many more things. Magnesium is absolutely amazing. Again, maybe you've been on a course of antibiotics so that we know your gut microflora is not optimal and you decide to take a course of probiotics. So supplements are out there for many different reasons because people have different things come up. So I'm really a firm believer that supplements aren't a waste of money. But when you're choosing a supplement, number one, it needs to be individualized for your health. So speaking to your doctor or your nutritionist, working these things out first so that you know what to take. Just taking a whole lot of different things just for the sake of it, that can definitely be a waste of money. So one, making sure that you individualize. Two, also look at the quality of your supplements. So you guys know that I take the Paleo Valley supplements. I did a lot of research into different types of supplements. Paleo Valley are organic. They don't use any fillers. I can't recommend them enough. So I'll link them up in the show notes if you want to check those ones out, if you're looking for a good product. But, otherwise, go to your health food store, speak to the people there, pick up the bottles, look at what you're getting, look at the dosage. All of these things matter and they contribute to the quality of the supplement. So there's no point paying for a supplement if it's not in the right form or it's poor quality. So these are just things to think about. The other thing is with supplements is over the last 50 years, our soils have been depleted of essential vitamins and minerals. So we don't get as many of these minerals from our fruits and veggies. So, what your grandma or your mum ate, in the 60s and 70s, the quality of that produce was definitely higher in minerals than the general produce that we're getting nowadays. So we may need to supplement to get enough. And again, there's nothing wrong with needing supplementation. You might not be able to absorb certain minerals, very well just with the, complexity of the gut. You may have a disorder. You may have poor gut health. All of these things can come into a play and affect, the absorption. So sometimes the matter of, having deficiencies can be the absorption. And again, that's when we can just have those top ups, and magnesium is a good example. You don't have to take that orally. You can have it in a tablet or a powder form, but you can also get it in, a cream or oil that you can just rub onto your muscles and absorb it that way. So, lots of different options. But again, I always believe that supplements can be really beneficial, but they really do need to be individualized to the person. And then finally, you are the best judge really at the end of the day if you need to take a supplement or not. You can, you might go have a blood test at the at your doctor and you find out that your vitamin D is 35 and then you start taking a vitamin D supplement and 6 months later it's at 70, which is a more optimal range. And you're like, yeah, that supplement really did work. So again, you need to check if your supplement is working. If you take, a vitamin C supplement and usually every winter you get sick, and then this winter you don't get sick at all. It may be a combination of, you know, your immune system is stronger because you've been taking that vitamin C supplement. It also may be that maybe you weren't exposed as much to, you know, viruses and illnesses. Maybe you started exercising and that helped your immune system as well. So it could be a combination of factors. And then finally, it can sometimes just be that sort of, you know, mental, if you are taking something and it feels better, you know, if it's a placebo effect and it works, that's better than the alternative. So, you know, I don't see that there's any issues in that. But generally, you want to be making sure that you do see the results. And it's much easier to see those results if it's, you know, we've got numbers from a blood test or a hair mineral test or something like that. But sometimes you do just need to gauge how you feel. One of those ways is, you know, with turmeric, which can be anti-inflammatory and really great for joint health. Sometimes people will take that and they'll find that their joint pain again is starting to dissipate. It's not something that we have a number on and we can test, you know, to get a certain result. But if you feel better in your body and you're moving better and you're getting these positive benefits, then, you know, and it's safe to take, then I don't see that there's any harm in that. Because getting curcumin, which is the extract from turmeric that we need for our joint health, you know, getting that enough just in your diet daily, you would be needing to eat a lot of turmeric, which, you know, turmeric can be a little bit upsetting on the stomach sometimes if you're not used to digesting it, or you may just not have a few problems with digesting it. So it may not be feasible to get enough, you know, to help your joints from eating it, you know, physically in your diet. But if you can supplement it and it's gentler on your digestion and you're feeling the benefits, then go for it. But again, as always, definitely speak with your doctor with certain supplements and that, because they can, you know, interfere with certain medications. So always, always, always please speak to your health professionals. But if you're finding benefits, then continuing to take what you take, I think, is always a great idea. So wrapping up, the five myths that we busted today was: one, carbs make you gain weight; two, you have to be skinny to be healthy; three, high fat foods are bad for you; four, breakfast is the most important meal of the day; and five, supplements are a waste of money. So I hope you found, you know, busting these myths to be helpful. If you'd, you know, love another episode on more of these health myths that we think are real, then definitely reach out, let me know, tag me on social media if you listen to this podcast at Mind Movement Health. I always love hearing from you guys. Otherwise, have a great week, and I'll be back next week on the podcast. Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.